The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. We have no sponsor for this month's program, but if you would like to be a sponsor or if you have any questions, just give us a call at our office at 919-832-5138. Well, let's start off with a little levity today. Life in these United States. And there's a picture of a man and a woman, both of them with big frowns on their faces. He's carrying a big, huge can of gas. And they're in the middle of the desert, obviously, with a car way in the background. And her comment to him is, while her arms are folded over, "I told you the tank was half empty, but oh no, you said it was half full." Scene. Mom texting her daughter. "Mom, I keep getting messages or missed calls or something." "From who?" "Someone called Betty Lowe?" "Battery low?" "Oh, that's it." During a consultation with her doctor before having surgery, my friend said to him, "My husband wants me to ask when I'll be able to." The doctor cut her off right there. "I'm asked that question frequently," he said. Then he leaned in and added, "You need to wait at least 6 weeks for intimacy." My friend shook her head. "No. He wanted to know when I will be able to cook for him again." After our meal at the pancake house, the waitress asked if we needed anything else. "Yes," I said. "Can we get more water, please?" "Sure," she said, and with that, she picked up my friend's glass of water, poured half into mine, and then walked away. While at the mall, I passed two women, neither of whom looked particularly happy, especially the one who said, "Nothing in my shoe size fits me anymore." One morning, my wife asked our 4-year-old son, Judd, what he wanted for breakfast. "Soup," he said. "Son, we don't eat soup for breakfast. We eat soup for lunch. So why would you lunch for breakfast?" "Lunch," he replied. "Ask my husband to bring me a cookie. He brought me the whole box. We're soulmates." Lies we tell our kids. We got our daughter to eat fish by calling it Argentine chicken. If the ice cream truck is playing music, it means he's run out of ice cream. Our parents used to tell me, my only brother and me, that we used to have another brother who turned into a mushroom from not taking a bath. Even added him to the family albums. My dad said if I looked after a special growing rock and watered it each day until it stopped growing, I could get a dog. I'd water it, and every week while I was at school, he'd replace it with a slightly bigger rock. When I was little, my dad told me that toys grew under the weeds in the yard, and that if I pulled them, eventually a toy would pop out. And I believed it. They don't sell replacement batteries for that toy. The Art of Living. You take supplements to boost your overall health. Here's how to get the most out of every pill. 10 ways to make your vitamins work better. Take them with food. Eating initiates a cascade of digestive processes that help absorb nutrients from food. And this will also optimize the absorption of the vitamins and minerals, explains Doug Duffy McKay, Senior Vice President of Scientific and Regulatory Affairs at the Council for Responsible Nutrition. Taking supplements on a full stomach also helps prevent them from causing nausea, a common side effect. And, of course, there are exceptions. In this case, it's iron, taken on an empty stomach for better absorption. Learn how they work with your meds. Vitamins and minerals can interact with prescriptions and over-the-counter medications, sometimes making one or the other less effective. For example, calcium may interfere with the absorption of levetiracetam, a thyroid medication. They compete for absorption in the bloodstream and should be taken a few hours apart, McKay says. On the other hand, supplements sometimes help drugs work better. Studies show that antidepressants are more effective when taken with omega-3-rich fish oil. The worst-case scenario, when supplements excessively amplify a medication's effects. For instance, fish oil, vitamin E, and ginkgo are natural blood thinners, so if you take any of them together with an anticoagulant, your blood may become too thin, raising the risk for internal bleeding and hemorrhagic stroke. Ask your doctor or pharmacist for guidance before starting on any supplements. Take them with fat. Fat-soluble vitamins, namely A, D, E, and K, are better absorbed when taken with fat. One study in the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics found that adults who took vitamin D with a high-fat breakfast had 32% greater absorption of vitamin than those who ate fat-free morning meal. But because fat-soluble vitamins can accumulate in the body, it is possible to get too much of them. It's probably fine if you get them from a multivitamin, but get your doctor's okay before taking any extra A, D, E, or K supplements. Pair them. Some vitamins and minerals work especially well together, said Kristen Amao, Ph.D., assistant professor at the University of Maryland School of Medicine and director of research at the Center for Integrative Medicines. Vitamins D and K2 help calcium absorption. Another winning pair, vitamin C, helps the body absorb higher percentage of iron. Diamama also names, in a study we did, taking iron with vitamin C reduced the side effects such as constipation and nausea. But keep these apart. Some vitamins and minerals are best taken separately. Large doses, 60 milligrams or more, of zinc, copper, and copper compete with one another, as do iron and zinc, Diamama says. Calcium also inhibits iron absorption. Take iron in the morning before eating and calcium in the evening when it can calm your mood. Also, says Michael De Bruce, Ph.D., author of The Power of When, if a vitamin is water-soluble, such as the B vitamins and vitamin C, then you'll urinate much of it out of your next bathroom trip. So some will need to be taken more than one time per day. Look into digestive enzymes or probiotics. Probiotics, which are live bacteria and yeast that aid digestion, can help nutrients assimilate better, D'Amato says. So can digestive enzymes, or enzymes. Plant-based digestive enzymes tend to survive stomach acid, he says, so they can help with absorption of certain nutrients that may normally get destroyed by the acid. Know how and where to store your stash. I found that the best quality probiotics are shipped and stored cold in a refrigerator, D'Amato says. Otherwise, the live cultures they contain will be dead on arrival. Omega-3 fatty fish oil, another popular supplement, should be kept in a cool, dark spot because the pills could degrade from heat, light, and oxygen. Diamamo recommends freezing them to prevent spoilage and reduce fishy burps and stomach irritation. Go natural. While studies of vitamin E have mixed results, it is a powerful antioxidant. If you choose to take supplements, look for natural forms, which are twice as bioavailable as the synthetic ones, said Diamao says. This means your body can use more of the good stuff. Look for a D on the label, which indicates what is natural. DL indicates synthetic. Watch the caffeine. Caffeine in your morning joe may interfere with the absorption of vitamins and minerals. It may also leach calcium from your bones. Minimize these risks by consuming no more than 3 cups a day, getting enough calcium plus vitamin D, and waiting about 15 minutes after your coffee to take your vitamins. Schedule them. All B vitamins should be taken in the morning, as they tend to give people energy, Broich says. Other supplements should be reserved for evenings, largely because they can make you drowsy. Magnesium has a true calming effect, and in some cases it can make people feel downright sleepy. It is best taken just before bed. Relationships. You messed up, and you know it. Now what? How to say I'm sorry and really mean it. And there's a picture of a bouquet of roses with a big sign that says it was all my fault. There's more to saying sorry than just saying sorry. In fact, a study led by researchers at Ohio State University found that effective apologies, in other words, ones that were accepted by the aggrieved and allowed both parties to move on with no lingering animosity, have 6 components, expressing regret, explaining what went wrong, acknowledging responsibility, declaring repentance, offering to repair the situation, and requesting forgiveness. The more of these components that were included, the more likely apologies were seen as credible, says Roy Lewicki, who led the study. That may seem like a lot to remember, but Lewicki found that 2 sentiments were the most essential: admission, acknowledgement of your responsibility and the other person's feelings, and contrition, remorse and commitment to future change. Acknowledgement of responsibility turned out to be the most important piece, he says. Of course, not all screw-ups are created equal, so you might need to fine-tune your groveling depending on the circumstances. Here are a few tips. Sincerity trumps timing. Did you screw up royally? A little cool-off time could help. Sometimes an immediate apology is called for, says Anser Manstead, a professor of psychology at Cardiff University in Wales. But if the other party is angry at your perceived wrongdoing, it may be more effective to wait because their anger may prevent them from being receptive to an apology. Waiting can benefit you, too. The best time to apologize is when one feels ready to sincerely apologize, says Etienne Boulay, director of research at Ethics at Work Laboratory at the Institute of Advanced Studies in Paris. There is nothing worse than these situations that insincere apologies. I'm really having a trauma mirror. Sorry about that. Explain. Don't excuse. Because admitting to being wrong is painful and can make people worried that they're a bad person, they often water down their apology with excuses, statements that undermine the responsibility part of the apology to save face, says Roger Gigerosarella, a professor of social psychology at the University of Kent in England. The worst sort of excuse? Finger-pointing. Examples include, I certainly apologize if I offended anyone, and I'm very sorry, but in my defense, you started it, says Ryan Fair, a professor of management at the University of Washington's Foster School of Business. That sort of apology has a name, a non-apology. A non-apology is a statement such as, I'm sorry you were offended by my joke, Gigerosarella says. It uses a form of apology, I'm sorry, but follows up by shifting responsibility to the offended person, implying he or she is too sensitive. Don't imply that the other person is wrong to feel upset or angry, adds Muriel Olakans, professor of management at Melbourne Business School. This diminishes and invalidates his or her experience. Explain, don't excuse. I'm sorry, that's why we did that. Let your body do the talking. By the way, I'm back on my iPad again. Sorry about that if I kind of screw up every once in a while, but it's a little different than reading from a magazine. Let your body do the talking. Experts agree that face-to-face apologies beat phoned-in, emailed, or handwritten ones. Facial expressions, posture, and the tone of voice all have been shown to be important channels that convey sincerity when you express remorse, Gigerosarella says. Anyone can type, I feel really ashamed. But if you say it live, it's obvious whether or not you mean it. A phone call is second best. You'll convey emotions with your voice and get instant feedback. Emailed apologies aren't ideal. They're devoid of emotional cues, and once you've typed them, the recipients can forward them to anyone. A victim can exploit written apologies to do harm to the apologizer, Mullet says. Being a victim does not automatically transform a person into a good person. You could also use FaceTime, I think would work somewhat too. Home. Extraordinary uses for the items you already own. Clever substitutes for everyday kitchen gadgets. My apologies. My tongue seems to be having problems at the end. There's a picture of two forks entwined. You need a whisk? Sub in two forks. A whisk introduces air as you're blending ingredients. You can do this with a fork, too. It would just take longer if your mixture to get fluffy. Even better, place two forks so their tines intertwine, tape their handles together, and whisk away. The space between the forks helps add air. Tip, don't use this makeshift whisk on nonstick pans. The forks could damage the lining. Your need, a steamer basket. Sub in, aluminum foil, and a dishwasher-safe plate. To set the food over steam, crumple the tinfoil into three large balls and arrange them in a triangle pattern in a large pot. Place them with a dishwasher-safe plate. Top them with a dishwasher-safe plate. Add water to the pot under the plate and place the items such as dumplings or salmon on the plate. Once the water simmers, cover the pot. Tips: for foods that may fall off the plate, such as Brussels sprouts, use a metal colander instead. You need a colander. Sub in an aluminum pie tin. To drain pasta or vegetables without a colander, poke holes in a disposable pie tin and use it as a strainer. Tip, no pie tin? Arrange the pot lid so it's about a quarter inch askew, hold it down with oven mitts, and carefully pour the water out, letting the lid catch your food. Hold the pot away from you to avoid a steam burn. You need a jar opener. Sub, a rubber band. To get a better grip on a tight lid, wrap its edge with a rubber band, the thicker the better, and twist. Voila! The lid should open easily. Tip. Improve your grip even more by putting an additional rubber band around the center of the jar and grasping the container there. You need a rolling pin. Sub in a liquor or wine bottle. Why take up scarce space in kitchen space with a rolling pin when a liquor or wine bottle can just as easily do the trick? Cover the bottle with plastic wrap, sprinkle it with flour to prevent sticking, and then use it exactly as you would a rolling pin. Tip. If you chill the bottle beforehand, the coolness will help the fat in your pie crust dough stay solid, yielding a flakier crust. Wipe any condensation from the bottle first so you don't add more moisture to the dough. You need a sifter. Sub in a metal sieve. Sifting fluffs up flour and mixes dry ingredients together. For a substitute, hold a metal strainer over a bowl with one hand. Use your other hand to put ingredients in the strainer, and then tap the sides gently so that the ingredients slowly slip through the holes. Tip. At a pinch, a whisk can also blend dry ingredients and add extra fluff, though it may take longer. You need a vacuum sealer. Sub in Ziploc bags and water. For a tight seal on the food you're about to pop in the freezer, put your choice in a plastic Ziploc bag and leave the last inch of the top open. Fill the sink or pot with water, then lower the bag slowly into the water, pushing out the air. Seal and dry the bag before freezing. Tip, you can also use a straw to suck out from almost closed plastic bag, although it's best not to use this method with raw meat. You need a bottle opener. Sub in a metal spoon. Hold the bottle by its neck as high as possible. With your other hand, hold a metal spoon tightly with your thumb on the front center of its bowl near the handle. Put the front tip of the spoon under the bottle's cap, then lift slowly until the cap pops off. Tip, if the pop doesn't pop off easily, move the spoon around its circumference to pry it a little by little. Life well lived. One conversation after Dad got sick and our relationship changed completely. Forgiving my father. Nothing stays the same for long. Things and people change, often for the worse, it seems, but once in a while, very much for the better. I grew up on a small farm, living a life that I took for granted. I had a dog without a leash and mountains in whichever direction I looked, and I woke to the call of pheasants in the alfalfa fields. My father worked in the city as a welder. He was quiet, distant, you might say. He was not highly educated, but he was smart, with an engineer's way of looking at problems. He was a man made of leather, brass, and chewing tobacco, who tried to teach my brother and me useful things, including respect. He also had a temper. I did not like him very much most of the time. One day I came home from school and his car was already there. Once inside, I was told by my mother that he didn't feel well. His back hurt. My father never missed work. In fact, when he came home, he went to the barn to work even more. I remember peeking around the corner at him as he lay on his bed in the middle of the day. I was in elementary school. Multiple myeloma. I learned that as a type of blood cancer. It starts in the cells that normally make antibodies for the body to use in its immune response against infections. When those cells become malignant, they make abnormal antibodies like crazy, crowding out the useful ones. As the cancer grows, the person who has it shrinks. The disease saps the body's energy, and the abnormal antibodies cause problems for other cells and tissues. Bones eventually look like Swiss cheese, and when they break, they may never heal. For the last year of my father's life, his entire day consisted of rising from his hospital bed in the living room and walking to his chair to sit and think. He was predictably in that chair when I came home one day during the ninth grade. I did not remember where my mother and brother were, but the two of us were alone. He asked me to sit down. What follows still moves me these decades later. He told me about his life. His family growing up, what it was like in the Pacific during World War II, his loves, his heartbreaks. It was as if a pipe had burst, his inner self rushing out to me in a great flood. He had been speaking for maybe an hour or more when I realized that he was doing more than telling. He was asking to be forgiven. All it took was understanding that it was what he needed, and I forgave everything immediately. When he died, I didn't return to school for a few days. My biggest dread going back was gym class. It was poorly supervised, and bullies ran the show. True to form, on my first day, I was standing there in my shorts when an all-too-familiar voice bellowed, "Lynch!" It was a guy who had given many of us a few lumps over the years. I turned to face him and said, "What do you want?" The other boys didn't say a word as they waited for the breakdown. "I heard your dad died," he said. "Is that true?" I quietly replied, "Yes." He didn't punch me. He didn't even move. Instead, he said, "I'm sorry." I was shocked. I'm sure I cried. Those two words are how I have remembered that kid ever since. What to do when your enemies reveal that they are also human? I think you ever forgive and move on, or forever hold on to resentment and live in the past. I'm certainly not glad that my father got sick, but at the same time I realized that if he hadn't, I might never have come to love him. Health again. Brittle bones and breast cancer aren't the only concerns women face as their hormones level change with age. 8 Surprising Postmenopause Health Risks by Susan Jarrah. Number 1. Gum disease. After estrogen's level decline, women become more susceptible to tooth loss and periodontal disease. So good oral hygiene counts more than ever. In addition, some postmenopausal women note dry mouth or pain or burning in gum issues, as well as altered taste for salty, peppery, or sour foods, says Joanne Pinkerton, MD, Executive Director of the North American Menopause Society. Sleep apnea. The risk of developing sleep apnea rises after menopause, probably because of a drop in the hormone progesterone, which stimulates breathing. Unfortunately, the condition isn't diagnosed in nearly 90% of affected women, says Dr. Pinkerton, citing the Wisconsin Sleep Cohort Study. Instead of the hallmark signs of sleep disorder, snoring, pauses in breathing, excessive daytime sleepiness, women may experience insomnia, morning headache, and excessive anxiety. Diabetes. If you begin menopause before age 46 or after age 55, you're more likely to develop type 2 diabetes, according to Women's Health Initiative. Low estrogen, known to increase insulin resistance and trigger cravings, plays a role. Having high blood pressure, polycystic ovary syndrome, or previous bouts of gestational diabetes raises the risk even more. Get tested every 3 years, starting at age 45, especially if you're overweight. Heart disease. The estrogen your ovaries produce before menopause increases HDL, good cholesterol, lowers LDL, bad cholesterol, and helps prevent high blood pressure. It makes sense, then, that the reduction of estrogen makes risk of heart disease climb. 1 in 8 women between the ages of 5 and 45 and 64, and 1 in 4 women over 65, has some form of heart disease. Not smoking, eating a plant-based diet, and exercising at least 30 minutes a day have big preventive payoffs. Number 5, eating disorders. A study published in International Journal of Eating Disorders found that the menopausal transition, with its hormonal limitations and body composition changes, is linked to increased eating disorders and negative body image. Number 6, autoimmune disease. autoimmune disorders. Although the reasons are unclear, researchers have found that the risk of developing autoimmune diseases, including lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and Hashimoto's thyroiditis, rises after menopause. Women have 2 X chromosomes, and defects in the X chromosome may make some women more susceptible to develop autoimmune disorders, says Dr. Pinkerton explains. Urinary problems. Urinary incontinence is particularly common after menopause. This is likely due to the thinning of the urethra caused by the declining estrogen, as well as weakened pelvic floor muscles, as a result of vaginal childbirth and aging, Dr. Pinkerton says. You're also more prone to reoccurring urinary tract infections after menopause. That's because estrogen helps keep harmful bacteria out. Some preventive steps: do those Kegel exercises, drink plenty of fluids, and hit the ladies' room before and after sex. Liver disease. The harmful effects of alcohol, infection, and excess fat take a greater toll on your liver as you age, and estrogen levels decline, says Dr. Pinkerton. Also, people born between 1945 and 1965 are 5 times more likely to have hepatitis C. The CDC recommends that people in that cohort get tested for the disease. All in the day's work. There's a picture of an older gentleman with a bald head, kind of like me, and a big gut, looking mean and nasty and wearing very fancy clothes, sitting in his doctor's office, and the doctor's looking at him, and the man says, "What do you mean I have an ulcer? I give ulcers. I don't get them." My coworker was very excited at the prospect of becoming an American citizen after passing her test and interview. "I just have one more thing to do," Pam said proudly. "I have to go to the courthouse in a few weeks and swear at the judge." Amtrak tweeted out this quote that allegedly came from a great poet: "Do not follow where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail." It garnered this response from at Pork Belt: "With all due respect, this is a terrible advice for trains." I worked in the HR department of a large apparel company where turnover was a big problem. So while interviewing the potential employee, I had to ask, "Are you looking for permanent work?" "Yes," she replied, "for the time being." I had an inkling that I'd been working too hard at the gift shop when at my father's funeral I greeted all the well-wishers with, "Thank you, come again." It's good to ask questions during a job interview, just not these shared by executives who heard them. "What does your company actually do?" "When you imagine your business, what color is it and what does it smell like?" "If there is another interview, do I really need to come back to this office? It's just a bit far from my house." Can I come to work in my pajamas? Our administrator sent a notice to all employees regarding a research study. The hospital is recruiting women ages 21 to 45 who are trying to become pregnant. The Post author then felt it necessary to add, male participation is optional. Students say the most creative things. Teacher, what's the age difference between two brothers in the story we read? Student, do you want to know the age difference at the beginning of the story or at the end? While teaching Roman numerals. Teacher, if X is 10 and L is 50, what is XL? Student, I'm not sure, but I saw the numbers on the tags of my mom's clothes. Teacher, California has the San Andreas Fault, but there's also a fault that runs through our own state, Arkansas. What is it? Student, asphalt. Teacher, what is the definition of adolescence? Student, adolescence is a period between childhood and adultery. Teacher, what is the name given to the group of people who advise the President of the United States? Student, the cupboard. News from the world of medicine. The benefits of feeling your partner's pain. A 2017 study published in the Psychological Science followed 145 patients with knee osteoarthritis and looked at the three ways that their significant others responded when they were in pain. The partners could be empathetic, show emotional support, solicitous, take over tasks and encourage rest, or punitive, expect frustration. Only those whose spouses reacted mainly with empathy had improved physical function after 18 months. In other words, you really can help your loved one heal. Why coffee makes you crave dessert? Cornell University researchers might have found the scientific answer to that age-old question. Why does coffee pair so perfectly with pastries? Normally, a chemical called adenosine binds to nerve cell membrane receptors, making you feel sleepy. Caffeine binds to the receptors to block them, which is why you feel less tired when you drink coffee. But that process also makes it harder for you to taste sweetness, which ironically makes you crave it more. Whey protein for anti-aging? Bodybuilders swear by whey protein, and older folks should too, whether or not they pump iron. In a new study, one group of men aged 70 and older took a protein-based nutritional supplement for 6 weeks. A second group took a placebo. When they added resistance and high-intensity interval training while continuing to take the supplement or placebo for an additional 12 weeks, the participants taking the whey protein gained 1.5 pounds of lean body mass, muscle mostly, in the first 6 weeks, which is the amount they would typically lose in a year. They also noticed greater strength gains after they began weightlifting compared with the participants who took the placebo. Bigger men are more likely to die from prostate cancer. Uh-oh, that's me. A recent study of almost 142,000 men has revealed that being larger than average, either taller or heavier, puts men at a higher risk of developing a more aggressive prostate tumor and in turn dying from it. But prostate cancer is highly treatable. So if you're an overweight or taller than average man, get a prostate-specific antigen test to detect the disease early. Reversing peanut allergies. Peanut allergies in children have tripled in the United States in the past 2 decades. Now a team of Australian researchers have developed a treatment that may help stop the trend. In a small clinical trial, children with a peanut allergy were randomly assigned to 2 groups. The first group received a daily probiotic combined with a peanut protein in increasing amounts for 18 months, while the other received a placebo. When the original study was completed in 2013, 82% of the children treated were deemed tolerant to peanuts, compared with less than 4% of the placebo group. A follow-up study has revealed that the majority of the children who gained an initial tolerance now consume peanuts regularly, and 70% passed a test confirmed that they have developed a long-term tolerance for peanuts. And with that, let's switch over to Consumer Reports. And there's a picture of someplace like Best Buy. In fact, I think it is Best Buy. People looking at TVs and everything, and the comment is, get more TV for less. Holiday sales are over, but the deals aren't gone for good. The lead-up to the Super Bowl is another great time to get a low price on high-performing TVs. Here are 5 expert tips for finding a sex you'll love. Unfortunately, when this program airs, the Super Bowl will already be over. But lots of times the sales run past the Super Bowl, so that's not really a big deal. 1. Buy a leftover 2017 model. You'll save money, and you won't be missing out on any of the hot new features. That's because 2018 sets aren't likely to offer important technologies that weren't already built into the 2017 models, especially larger TVs from major brands. The reason to buy a 2017D is, of course, the discounts. An analysis we did with a retail market research firm, Gap Intelligence, shows that after TVs are introduced early in the year, the prices tend to drop steadily as the months tick by before nosediving in advance of Black Friday. After the holidays, prices tick up but then plunge again in the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl. As retailers try to make room for the next year's model. Last year we saw a 55-inch Samsung TV, the UN55K U6300, selling as low as $699 in late January, says Deidre Kennedy, senior analyst at Cap Intelligence. It had started out at $899 the previous spring. Go big and go home. It used to require some math to figure out which size TV to buy for a particular room. With older high-definition sets, for instance, it was the best to sit around 8 feet back from a 60-inch set to really enjoy the quality of the picture. No longer. Today, 4K, also called ultra-high definition, or UHD, TVs have a very fine picture detail, and you can go as big and sit as close as you like without the image beginning to look coarse, as it could in previous generation 1080p sets. But that doesn't mean a bigger set is always better. If your sofa is too close to a huge set, it might be difficult to take in the whole picture at once, or the set might just seem to overpower the room. Screen size is a matter of personal preference. It's a good idea to go to a store, stand back from the TVs about as far as you would sit at home, and see which screen size feels comfortable. Embrace the world of 4K. The benefits of 4K televisions is that they can show sharper, more detailed images than 1080p TVs, as long as you're watching 4K video, that is. That's one problem with 4K. Cable TV providers aren't transmitting shows at this resolution yet. Satellite TV companies do have some 4K current content. But to take full advantage of your new set, you'll need to turn to the many 4K shows available on streaming services such as Amazon and Netflix. And on 4K Blu-ray disc. You need a 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray player to watch these, though. The other thing to keep in mind is that 4K resolution is really a benefit only on big TVs. As screens get smaller than 40 inches, it gets harder to appreciate the finer 4K picture detail, says Consumer Reports TV program leader Claudio Clocci. Be wary of HDR labels. High dynamic range, or HDR, technology is now built into almost every larger 4K TV, especially from the major brands. When done right, HDR can deliver a greater range of brightness levels from bleak black to peak white. You'll see more detail in both the darker and near-white parts of the image, and the display will deliver more realistic lighting, including spectacular highlights, glints of light such as the sun's reflection off a car's chrome bumper that make images really pop off the screen. But our tests show that lots of sets have some HDR capability fail to create the rich, lifelike images the technology is known for, Kalachi cautions, and there's no way to judge this for yourself in the TV aisle of an electronics store. To get really good HDR performance, check the HDR score in our TV ratings, which can be found starting on page 44 of this particular magazine. The sets that deliver the goods on this technology tend to be more expensive, but if it fits your budget, the added cost is worthwhile. HDR can really enhance your TV watching experience. Don't sweat smart TV choices. Most TVs being shipped these days are smart models, meaning they connect to the internet and let you access streaming services such as Netflix. Different TV brands use different smart TV platforms, but we don't think this should be a big part of the decision on which sets to buy. That's the lesson from a recent CR survey of more than 1,000 smart TV owners. Most respondents said they were highly satisfied with the streaming experience, regardless of their TV's brand. If you decide you don't like the smart TV platform in the set you purchase, you can always add a separate streaming device, such as a Roku stick or an Apple TV. These devices can cost as little as $30, though you can get a model that's handled 4K content, you'll need to pay around $70 or more. 60% of the respondents in our survey wound up adding a separate streaming device. Although many liked the built-in functionality of their sets, many told us they wanted better performance or a wider selection of streaming service to choose from. We've recently tested 4K streaming players to see how they stack up against each other. And we have this on the next page, and here we are on the next page. Even if you have a smart TV, a separate streaming device can give you more viewing options or just be easier to use. Here are some of the best and newest 4K-compatible players. Prices range from $70 to $200. The Roku Ultra at $100. Roku's flagship streaming device, our top-rated model, offers the best performance of any Roku player, plus a wide assortment of channels that helps make Roku devices so popular. Roku will search for a movie or a TV title across various services, listing the cheapest options first. Two reasons to spring for this model instead of the cheaper Roku streaming stick, plus, also reviewed here, a button on the unit makes the remote beep if you misplaced it, and a headphone jack in the remote allows for private listening. Google Chromecast Ultra, $70. Underneath the Chromecast's cool-looking circular exterior is a solid-performing streamer that works a bit differently from other devices. There's no remote control. Instead, you use a smartphone or a tablet with the Google Home app to find content, then cast it wirelessly to your TV. There's also an Ethernet port in the power adapter for a more reliable connection, and a Google Home smart speaker can be used to control the Chromecast. But note, right now there's no direct app for Amazon Video. Apple TV has always made the most sense for people who live in Apple's world, renting and buying content from iTunes. The new 4K version has a sleek interface, a faster processor than its predecessor, and the Siri voice assistant. Additionally, 4K HDR titles cost less on iTunes than on other services. Apple sweetens the deal by upgrading your previous iTunes purchases to 4K free of charge, and the company recently added support for Amazon Prime Video. There's also a 64GB version for $200. By the way, this is $180. The Roku Streaming Stick Plus, $70. Want a 4K Roku, but not a set-top box? Just pop this stick-style player into the TV's HDMI port, and it will essentially disappear behind or alongside your TV. The power cord has a unique inline wireless receiver that can, the company claims, improve the device's wireless range. Like all Rokus, this model has a category-leading assortment of channels. The Sticks and Plus and Ultra have some voice controls, but these are limited compared to those of other players. An Amazon Fire TV with 4K Ultra HD and Alina voice remote, $70. The latest Fire TV replaces a pricier, boxy predecessor with a diamond-shaped dangle that has a slightly faster processor, HDR capability, and support for a smoothly loading 60 frames per second videos. A big selling point is that Fire TV comes with an Alexa-powered voice remote, which you can use to operate Alexa-compatible lights, thermostats, and security cameras, or if you control the Fire TV using an Amazon Echo smart speaker. The Fire TV priorities Amazon content, so it's probably best for Amazon Prime subscribers. Sorry for that dead here. The button didn't push like it was supposed to. My apologies. Satisfaction guaranteed. Now, this is an automobile thing, and I know that most of our viewers don't drive, but their family members do, and this is kind of an interesting article. Before you buy a brand new car, consult our exclusive owner satisfaction rating to see if the right used car is a smarter choice. And they have a picture here of a car basically split in half. And the front half is an Acura RDX brand new at $38,990. And they have a used BMW X5 for $37,100 to $53,825. Nothing beats the feeling of driving a brand new car off the lot. But if you want great value and more features than your budget allows, consider buying used. In fact, if you choose wisely, the only thing you'll give up when you buy a used car is that new car smell. Buying advice for new car purists can be found starting on 52, and I'll check that out. The average new car loses about half its value in the first 3 years of ownership, says Mel Yu, CR Automotive Analyst. Buying a used car means that the previous owner took that financial hit. CR survey results show that cars in general are very reliable today, easily clocked at 100,000 miles or more, even before needing any major repairs. If you take the necessary precautions when buying a used car from a recent model year, chances are good you'll end up with one you can drive for years to come without needing to do much more than change the oil. Perhaps the most compelling reason to buy used is that it can put premium features and luxury within reach of those who otherwise couldn't afford them. Going the used car route can let you step up to a model that's more luxurious, better equipped, and more enjoyable to drive, says Jake Fester, director of CR's Auto Testing. To show you how much car you can get by buying used, we selected 8 new model, all well-rated by CR, and came up with 2 3-year-old used alternatives, one in the same category, and the other a step up in luxury. The best way to start any search for a great used car is to consult our ratings and choose models that have high owner satisfaction and reliability ratings, as well as a strong road test score when tested new. Then, as you narrow your search, be sure to do the following. Take a test drive. There's no substitute for getting behind the wheel. Note any unusual vibrations, squeaks, and rattles. And search and sniff for mildew or mold. Check the title. Make sure the seller has actual title. Many states will note on the title whether the vehicle has ever been seriously damaged, been repurchased under a state lemon law program, or had another problem. But a title may not have this information for a variety of reasons, so get a vehicle history report for any car you're considering. If the seller doesn't have the title or won't show it to you, consider a different car or a different seller. Check the vehicle history report. These reports from companies like AutoCheck and Carfax may indicate whether a vehicle has ever been in a crash and show maintenance records and the number of owners the vehicle has had. Even if the seller provides a report, obtain one from another company. The sources of information they rely on can vary. An incident might not appear on a vehicle history report if, say, an owner hasn't reported to an insurer or the police. It can take months for an incident to show up on a report, if at all. Hire a mechanic. Have a mechanic experienced in auto body work and accident repair give the vehicle a detailed inspection, says Job Evanson, CR's chief mechanic. If the seller won't let you have the car inspected, walk away. Check for recalls. Make sure the car you're considering doesn't have a known unfixed safety defect. Go to nhtsa.gov/recalls and enter the car's vehicle identification number, VIN number, to see whether any recalls are pending. Recall-related repairs are free, but must be done by a dealer that sells the brand of vehicle being recalled. Contact the previous owner. Check the title or ask the dealer for the contract information. Previous owners can tell you how the car was used, commuting, Uber, and about how any mechanical or other problems they experienced. For more tips on how to buy a used car, go to cr.org/used cars. New and used, what you get for the money. If you're shopping for a 2018 car that's well-rated by CR, but you want a thriftier option or even a luxury upgrade for the same money, we offer these small alternatives from the 2015 model year. Automatic emergency braking, AEB, and forward collision warning, FCW, are available on all new cars listed and on used models as indicated. New, a Hyundai Elantra, $20,000. Overall score was a 70. Satisfaction was 1. Reliability was good. Relatively roomy, easy to use controls, and fuel economy. Cons, engine noise, ride, front seat comfort. And the AEB FCW is optional. Smart used alternative, Toyota Corolla, 13,375 to 17,225. Pros are ride, fuel economy, interior space. The cons, lackluster handling, interior quality. The Honda Accord, 17,225 to 25,575. Satisfaction is very good. Reliability is very good. Pros are roomy interior, driving position, handling, and fuel economy. Cons, distracting lane watch side camera. The Lincoln MKZ, new, is $42,000. Pros are handling, ride, and quietness. The cons, visibility and snug interior. Audi A6, $28,500 to $41,600. Powertrain, handling, ride, and quietness are pros. Cons are controls take getting used to. The BMW 5 Series, from $28,675 to $42,500. Gets both good satisfaction and reliability ratings. Quick and fuel-efficient handling. Ride quietness. Controls they're getting used to. It's a tight rear seat as well. Nissan Altima. This is new. A V6, 31.6. Overall score is a 77, which is high. The pros are relatively roomy, easy to use controls and acceleration. Cons, handling, agility, and ride. Smart used alternatives, the Kia Optima at 14.5 to 22.7. Pros are simple controls, smooth transmission. The cons are fuel economy and rear visibility. The Lexus ES at $28,725 at $3,500. I'm sorry, that's $30,500. The pros are fuel economy, quiet interior, and comfortable seats. And the cons are distracting infotainment interface. New is the Ford Taurus at $38,000. Pros are quiet, comfortable ride. The cons are cramped interior, fussy climate controls, and unresponsive steering. Smart used alternatives, the Chevrolet Impala, 13.5 to 22.3. Pros, handling, ride, braking, quietness, spacious cabin and trunk. The cons are limited rear visibility. Also, the Buick LaCrosse is a good alternative at 15.5 to 25. Pros are ride, quietness, fit, and finish. The cons are visibility and tight driving position. How about a new Nissan Rogue at $29,900? Roomy, interior, nice ride. The cons, it's noisy engine, bland driving experience. Smart used alternative, the Mazda CX-5 at $17,200 to $24,100. The pros, it's agile handling, fun to drive, generous features for the money. The cons, somewhat noisy cabin. Or the Kia Sorento at $17,000 to $29,000. Pros are roomy, easy to park, intuitive controls, third row seat. Cons, mediocre handling. And new, the Acura RDX at almost $39,000. Smooth and powerful drivetrain, seat comfort. Ride, rear visibility, and annoying controls are negatives. Smart used alternatives. Audi Q5. Comfortable, ride, agility, quiet interior. The cons are tight rear seat and cargo area, rear visibility. The BMX 5 at $37,10 to $53,800. Luxurious and quiet, confident handling. Some annoying controls, notably the shifter. A Honda Pilot at $39,500. The pros are it's roomy, has an interior visibility, smooth powertrain. The cons, clumsy handling and touchscreen radio. Alternatives are Toyota Highlander at 25.7 to 39.5. Pros are strong reliability, roomy interior, and pleasing drivetrain. The cons are interior trim can look cheap. Acura MDX, 32.8 to 39.3. Pros, it's well-rounded upscale SUV, fuel economy. Cons, it lacks agility, frustrating controls. New luxury small SUV is an Infiniti QX60. At $52,000, plush, roomy, quiet, easy-to-use controls, lacks agility, poor rear visibility. The Buick Enclave is a substitute at $24,600 to $33,400. Lots of interior space and flexibility, good through-row access, quiet and comfortable ride, low fuel economy, unfortunately. The Audi Q7, $39,000 to $50,005. The pros, it's comfortable front seats, roomy fit and finish. The cons, engine drone, complicated controls. Car satisfaction according to owners. Our owner satisfaction survey reveals the real-world experience of drivers like you. At our 327-acre test track in Connecticut, we evaluate dozens and dozens of cars each year, which we buy at dealerships the same way you do. In addition to testing them rigorously at our track, we drive them on roadways for months and for thousands of miles. For even more information, we seek the opinions of about 400,000 car owners with our annual owner satisfaction survey. The owner satisfaction score, based on whether an owner says he or she would buy the same car again, measures whether a car lives up to expectations. Respondents also rate their cars in the categories driving experience, comfort, value, styling, audio, and climate systems. Combined with CR's ratings, our owner satisfaction survey gives car buyers valuable guidance when they're shopping for a vehicle. A familiar theme is that cars that meet owner expectations consistently score well. Sports cars like Porsche 911, the Chevrolet Corvette, and the Mazda MX-5 Miata are hits because they deliver driving fun that their owners were looking for. In a surprise showing, the revamped Honda Ridgeline outscored the compact pickup field by a wide margin. The Ridgeline and the Ford F-350 are also among the top 10 vehicles ranked by owner satisfaction scores. That's the first time in at least 5 years that any pickup truck made it into the top 10. The charts on the following pages show which models and brands satisfy drivers after living with the vehicles for 3 years, and we'll look at that in a second. How to avoid buying a once-flooded car. Hurricanes Harvey and Irma battered the U.S. last year, but the water-damaged vehicle they left behind are just starting to show up on used car lots. As many as 650,000 cars were flooded in last fall's storms, according to some estimates, and now there's no telling how many have been cleaned up and camouflaged to hide water damage so that they can be offered for sale. The potential harm isn't only musty upholstery and rust. Water can ruin vital electronics, including airbag sensors, and compromise lubricants and mechanical systems. But because the damage may not be noticeable for months or even years, CR's chief mechanic John Ibbotson says shoppers should steer clear of vehicles with signs of deep water exposure, even if a vehicle looks acceptable and may be working when you inspect it. And don't think you're safe just because you're buying in an area from far from the floods. Food damaged cars are often shipped to distant places where consumers may not think to look for warning signs. The National Motor Vehicle Title Information System, VehicleHistory.gov, Carfax, Carfax.com, and the National Insurance Crime Bureau, NICH.org, offer free or paid services to help buyers screen cars for flood damage. But getting a detailed inspection by a trusted mechanic is still the best protection. Still, there are a number of signs that a car has been flooded that you can look for on your own. Carpets with a musty smell and possibly even mud. Brand new carpets in an older vehicle may also be a red flag. Scratches are marks on the seat mounting screws because seats have to be removed to dry out or install new carpet. These marks are telltale signs. Water lines are fogging on headlight lenses or reflectors. Water lines and debris in hard-to-clean places, such as behind the engine. Mud and other debris in difficult-to-clean places, such as gaps between trunk panels or on the bottom edges of brackets or panels. Rust on any unpainted, rusted, exposed screw under the dashboard or on seat mounts. Tesla brands owners love and the ones they don't. Tesla and Porsche hold the top two spots on the list of brands ranked by average of their models' owner satisfaction scores. For a fuller picture, we also indicate how many places each brand has climbed or dropped since last year and provide ratings for four of the six categories. Owners evaluate Jenison Hyundai Luxury Spinoff was the only brand to score a top rating in all of them. The number one is the Tesla. The number two is the Porsche. The number three is the Genesis. It's never been there before. The Chrysler popped up from four places. The Audi dropped two. The Mazda went up one to six. The Subaru dropped three to seven. Toyota dropped three to eight. Honda dropped three to nine. Lincoln went up two to ten. The Mini went up 5 to 11. The Dodge Ram went up 5 to 12. The Kia went up 5 to 13. The Chevrolet dropped 5 to 14. The BMW dropped 1 to 15. The GMC dropped 5 to 16. Ford dropped 2 to 17. The Lexus dropped 8 to 18. The Volvo went up 1 to 19. And Dodge went up 3 to 20. Jeep went up 4 to 21. Mercedes-Benz dropped 3 to 22. Number one, Volkswagen was 23. It went up one. Hyundai dropped 11 places to 24. The Buick was down 4 to 25. Cadillac was down 4 to 26. The Infiniti was unchanged at 27. The Mitsubishi was not rated last year. It's at 28. The Nissan is down 1 at 29. And the Acura is down 4 at 30. That's kind of disappointing for some of these fine brands that you read about all the time. the least, most and least satisfying models. These rankings are based on the percentage of owners who said they would buy their car again. The Lincoln Continental, Ford 350, Honda Odyssey, Honda Ridgeline, and Toyota Plus Prime are new additions to the most satisfying list this year. The Tesla Model S and the Porsche 911 are the number one. The Ford 350 and the Mazda MX Miata the Chevrolet Corvette and the Lincoln Continental are number two. The Ford F-350 and the Mazda MX Miata are number three. The Toyota Prius is number four. The Tesla Model X and the Honda Odyssey are number five. Dodge Challenger, Toyota Plus Prime, and the Honda Ridgeline are number six. Those are the satisfied ones. The dissatisfied one. The least satisfied was the Mercedes-Benz GLA. The next one is the Acura RLX and the Nissan Sentra. Then the Chevrolet Trax. And then Dodge Journey, Nissan Versa Sedan, and the Infiniti QX60. The Ford Transit Connect was also low-rated, the Fiat 500 as well. The Dodge Grand Caravan was the highest-rated of the dissatisfied models. Then we have the things that are at the last page of the Consumer Reports. And it's a there are ads that have funny things in them. There's an ad for a full-service septic draining company called ProSeptic, 24-hour emergency service. And their headline is, "We take crap from anyone." And then, of course, there's the sale on a seat that attaches to the back of a truck. Looks like a toilet seat. And the caution is, not for use when the vehicle is in motion. Can get slippery when wet. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's broadcast of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast on our website, TriangleReadingService.org. We would like to thank all of our past sponsors for their generous contributions to the Reading Service. If you have any comments or questions or would like to be a sponsor, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so much for listening.